Welcome to Solder Smoke, a podcast by radio amateurs with a focus on homebrew electronics. We get together on the internet to swap ideas about radio construction projects. Our website is www.soldersmoke.com. Please send feedback to soldersmoke, that's one word, at yahoo.com. So, as we step away from our soldering irons and oscilloscopes, please join us for another edition of Solder Smoke. Hello? Hello? This thing working? Oh, test, test 1, 2. Yeah, I guess it is. Hey, good morning. It's the 13th of October, Saturday morning, 0646, the local time in Rome, Italy. And this is Solder Smoke 66. Hey, it's good to be back. We arrived in Rome here, I guess about 6 weeks ago. Our car arrived a few weeks later. All of our stuff, including all of the radios, arrived last week. And at about the same time, broadband internet access arrived also. So we're ready to go with Solder Smoke. Let's see. Might turn down the audio gain here a bit. This thing seems a bit too hot. 1 second. That might be better. Don't want to be overdriving this thing here. Be just like a rig. You can't drive it too hard. Hold on. Let's say. Hope that's a little bit better. Maybe. You guys are going to have to bear with me. It's been a while here since I put one of these things together. Let me see here. All right. Anyway, like I said, we're getting settled here in Rome, and it's good to be back to Solder Smoke. I thought I'd start out this week by telling you a little bit about the new location, and then maybe talk a little bit about the summertime adventures on the way to Rome, and then maybe some radio observations from the road and a little bit of what it might be like to be a home brewer and a radio amateur here in Rome, Italy. We're in a really nice and unusual section of Rome. It's a neighborhood called Trastevere, which means across the Tiber River. It's the part of Rome right across the river from the, I guess really the central and historic part of Rome. It's very close in. I mean, we can walk from our apartment to the Circus Maximus, where they used to do the chariot races, the Ben-Hur kind of thing. We could walk there in about 10 or 15 minutes. I can walk to work, all the way to work, in about a half hour. And it's a really amazing walk too, because it starts out by we start out by crossing the Tiber, and then up past the Pantheon, the famous Pantheon building. I can go past the Trevi Fountain that most of the tourists come and take a look at when they come to Rome. As I cross the river, I look up to my left and I can see the dome of St. Peter's Basilica. And it's really a fantastic place to be living, and we're very, very happy here. Everybody's getting settled fine. The kids are in school, of course, and we're all learning Italian and doing quite well at it. So all in all, it's been a pretty easy transition. I have to comment here. You may hear some additional bells ringing in the background. I have to explain. Hold on. Now, every 15 minutes in this neighborhood, we live close to one of the most historic churches in Rome. It's called Santa Maria de Trastevere, and I think it's the church that had the first regularly celebrated Catholic Mass in Rome. So it's really, really old and very beautiful, interesting place. But we're definitely within audio range of the church bells of Santa Maria de Trastevere, and they go off every 15 minutes. So, guys, that's not the gong you're hearing. It's not a new gong. If you hear it going off in the background, you're listening to the actual bells of Santa Maria de Trastevere, and I'm sure they'll go off here during the course of this morning's show. I mean, we may just get rid of the gong and go with the much more melodious bells of Santa Maria de Trastevere. The shack, well, it's smaller than the London shack, which, as you know, was pretty small. But I think I got plenty of room here. I have the workbench here, and I've got the operating table. I've got the computer set up, obviously, and I think we will be able to melt some solder and build some stuff here in Rome. The apartment is a bit smaller than where we lived in London. It's just really because we're much closer to the center of town here than we were in London, and so things get a little bit more. I guess you trade distance for space, but it's fine. And the shack is pretty much set up. I have sitting in front of me my Drake 2B receiver. I have a Heathkit HW8 up on top of that. I got the Homebrew double sideband rig on the table. The workbench is behind me. I have all the test gear arrived intact, which is, of course, the important thing. My soldering iron is here, and well, as far as I'm concerned, the move was a big success. nothing significant lost. I as I find myself opening the boxes, I guess more normal people would be concerned about, you know, family heirlooms and the kids' shoes and, you know, the china, that kind of stuff. I, of course, am focused on whether or not the Drake 2B has arrived in good condition. It has. So all is well in I guess, M0HBR stroke or Italy zero. I don't have an Italian call yet. I haven't started working on that. There's another radio amateur at the embassy, and he is going through the process of getting an Italian call. So I figured that I'd wait and see how it worked out with him before I jump into the radio bureaucracy here. We'll see how it goes. I'm not quite sure if I'm going to be able to get a decent antenna up in the sky. Like I said, it's quite crowded here, and we have access to the roof. And if I could get a vertical up there, I have a good shot at the horizon almost all around. We're close to one of the historic hills of Rome. It's not one of the seven hills of ancient Rome, but it's historic. It's called the Janiculum, that's off to our west. So I won't have I'm basically shooting into rocks off to the west, but all other points of the horizon are pretty visible from up there. So if I am eventually able to convince the neighbors to allow me to put up an antenna, I think we'll be in pretty good shape, but we'll have to see. No promises there. We'll have to see how that goes. My telescope arrived also, the 6-inch Dobsonian, and I think the roof has good potential for some urban astronomy. Well, I'll have to kind of alert the neighbors. I don't think they're used to people going up on the roof with telescopes at 5 a.m. I don't want to cause any concern. But there is potential here, guys, for the emission and reception of electromagnetic waves. We'll see how it goes. Let's see, what else? Maybe some radio observations from the road. We took a long trip. I think I told you about the planned route before we departed. I think the last show was on the 1st of July. So we've been on the road for a while. We went London, Chicago, just changed planes in Chicago, then on to San Diego, a few days there, San Francisco, a couple days there. Salt Lake City, changed planes, then went out to Grand Junction, Colorado for a few days. Took a train trip from Grand Junction through the Rockies to Denver. Spent a couple days there. Flew out to Washington. Spent about a month in Washington for work. Up to the New York City area to visit relatives, and then here to Rome. One of the highlights of the trip out west was in San Diego. It was great fun. I went out and saw my brother. My kids had the opportunity to play with cousins that they had never met before, and we had a really great time out there with them. And it just so happened that I was in San Diego at the same time that Wes, W7ZOI, was there. And he was kind enough to take time out from his schedule there and to meet up with me. And we had breakfast one morning right there in La Jolla near San Diego. And I have to say, it was really one of the highlights of the trip. Great fun, great to meet somebody who we've all admired for many years, who's lately been a real helpful mentor for me, and he was for Mike and for the whole Solder Smoke effort. So it was really terrific. I got him to listen to this, guys. This is gonna provoke pangs of jealousy out there in Solder Smoke land. But I took with me on the trip, of course, you know, as you do, I took my copy of Solid State Design for the Radio Amateur. I thought about taking with me Experimental Methods in RF Design, but kind of decided that in terms of weight and packing ease, Solid State Design was the better value. So I took with me, and I kind of knew, though, I might be meeting up with Wes. And since Solid State Design had kind of a much more, I think, bigger impact on me, certainly in my early days as a radio amateur and home brewer, I kind of still have kind of a more of an emotional connection, I guess, with Solid State Design. If you can have an emotional connection to a book about transistors, you guys know what I mean. I took with me SSDRA, and took it with me up to on the ride up to La Jolla to meet up with Wes, and I got him to sign my SSDRA copy. So I now have this extremely beat up my original copy of SSDRA. It's been with me. Wait a second, here's the bells. That's just the 7 o'clock in the morning. Time for everybody to wake up, bells. Anyway, got Wes to sign the... Wait, there you go. Those were the 7 o'clock bells. 7 o'clock, a lot of bells go off here in Rome. It's beautiful. Okay, there you go. Better than the gong, eh? Anyway, we had a really nice breakfast meeting there. Talked over home brewing and solder smoke and radio books, and it was just really great to meet Wes. We got one of the people at the restaurant there, one of our fellow customers, to take a picture of the two of us there having coffee and eating bagels in La Jolla, and again, thanks to Wes for taking the time out to meet up there. It was great. I'll try to get the picture up on the gadgeteer.us website. You know, one of the great things about a long trip like this is you get to spend a lot of time kind of with your kids, and they come up with comments and observations that, well, you would miss otherwise. But if you weren't spending so much time with them. But you know, I think one of the long airplane flights, Billy looked up at me and he said, "Dad, we know about the speed of light, but what do we know about the speed of dark?" I know, you know, we all think that everything our kids say is cute and interesting, but I think this is something that we as radio amateurs need to look into a little bit. It may have something to do also with the whole dark matter, mass of the universe question. And you know, sometimes from, you know, the mouths of kids, you get some pretty profound stuff. So I raise that question to the Solder Smoke community. Has anyone actually measured the speed of dark? If not, why not? Inquiring minds want to know. Hey, also on the airplane, we came across a bit of technology that, as radio amateurs, I think we found interesting. And these are the, I think it's Bose. Yeah, that's right. Bose noise canceling headphones. This was on the transatlantic flight coming back from London. The airline gave us these fancy headphones, noise canceling headphones with a little switch on the side. And I said, "Man, this has to be some sort of gimmick." But then I started thinking maybe they do have some sort of phasing signal processing technology in there. And man, I got to tell you, they work like a charm. You put these things on, and okay, you put them on, and they're like, you know, you like put on earmuffs, and you can hear less noise. No big deal there. But you flip on the switch, and you know that the noise that's canceled is the regular noise, the roar of the jet engines and the plane slicing through the atmosphere. It's that, you know, that background kind of course, that's easy to cancel. It's not like they're going to... I don't think they've worked out the noise-canceling technology to take care of the conversation of the person next to you or the guy when you're waiting to take off who wants to call everybody he knows on the cell phone. They haven't worked that one out yet. That would be a real good one, but... they have figured out, of course, it's got to be digital signal processing in there to take care of the getting rid of the airplane engine noise. And then, of course, you can plug the thing into the seat, and you can listen to the soundtrack from the movie, and then you flip the switch on, and they remove the jet engine noise. So, hey, I recommend it. I was made a believer. Bose really does have cool noise-canceling headphones. Another observation from the road, from the West Coast. We, in San Diego, one night while waiting for a table at a restaurant, we found ourselves in a kind of new-age crystal shop. You know, crystals are very important to the new-age folks. I don't imagine we have too many in the Solder Smoke listening audience, but well, hell, we know they're out there. And we found ourselves in this shop, so we're looking around. It's fun to look at. The kids like looking at the pretty rocks and the crystals. And okay, I come across a tray with iron pyrite, fool's gold. You'll recall that we were talking about. When Mike and I were building crystal radios, we were using different minerals for the detector, not just the standard galena. But we'd heard that iron pyrite was good. There was lots of iron pyrite in London. I got some at the Science Museum, and sure enough, it worked like a charm. In the detector, I actually sent a bunch of it up to Alaska to Mike. So iron pyrite is important to us as radio amateurs. And there is a tray of it in this crystal radio store. Well, not crystal radio, this crystal store in San Diego. And I really got a kick out of it because, you know, they have all these little descriptions of the supposed, you know, mystical properties of all these different rocks and how they're supposed to help you deal with, you know, emotional problems of various kinds. It's all a lot of baloney, of course. But with the iron pyrite, it says below, removes negative energy. You know, I found myself thinking, well, you know, in a certain sense, I guess that's a description of how a detector works when you're removing the negative portion of the sine wave there as you're using it as a detector. I'm sure that's not what the owner of the shop had in mind, but heck, that's what I thought of. So yeah, iron pyrite removes negative energy. Why not? Another observation from the road: sometimes your kids get way ahead of you, and mine have these Nintendo DS games. They play Super Mario, things like that on it. And I didn't realize that these things had gone wireless, because as we're traveling around, at one point we were on a train from Grand Junction, Colorado, to Denver, and on the train, the kids were making wireless connections with other kids on the train who were also playing with the DS, with Nintendo DS. So that was kind of interesting. These things have gone wireless, and they can transmit messages and play games wirelessly with other kids on the train. It was great fun. I thought that was pretty cool. Let's see. Looking around Rome, I see more amateur radio antennas than I did in London. In London, if you saw a big array up on the roof, it was usually an embassy of some sort, and then the antenna was up there, kind of rusting, kind of a Cold War relic, you know, that allowed the Bulgarian embassy to communicate with headquarters back in Sofia. There were a few of those still around there, but they're here, and I didn't see too many. Actually, I don't think I saw any ham radio antennas up on roofs in our part of London. But as we go around Rome, I've already seen quite a few tri-band Yagis up there. Obviously not above embassies, so I have hopes for that. I'm living in an area that is more radioactive, you know what I mean, than the South Kensington Chelsea section of London, where ham radio is definitely not really big on the entertainment priority list. But anyway, so we have great hopes, and I hope soon to meet up with some Italian radio amateurs and homebrewers. I know that this is a country where there's a lot of great homebrewing talent and interest in homebrewing. And there's an Italian equivalent of the GQRP Club. They've got a nice magazine. And I hope to meet up with some of those guys real soon and make them suffer with my still pretty horrible Italian. But hey, listen, wait a second. I guess we got to stick with tradition. And I almost didn't put this in the room. It almost went into storage, but I just didn't have the heart to do it. Stand by. Those of you with sensitive hearing might want to cover your ears. I'll try to keep this within the acceptable power range. It's time for the first Roman edition of Solder Smoke Mailbag. Lots and lots of mail came in over the summer, guys. You guys know because you were sending it. Most of the messages were along the lines of, "Hey Bill, when are you going to do the next solder smoke?" I from time to time thought about trying to generate one from my wife's laptop PC, but it would have been just too painful. So I waited until my computer arrived. So we're back on the eMachines machine here, that the same machine and same software that was used to generate solder smoke back there in London. First, I want to mention I've been on and off been getting regular series of emails from Mike's wife, and I just wanted to let everybody know that she seems to be doing okay, and it's great to hear from her, and she does seem to be doing okay, and I hope to keep in touch just to provide some moral support from a distance here, but I wanted to let you all know that she does seem to be doing okay. Got some interesting email from some kind of unusual locations, and I'll mention them. We got Dennis OX3UR listens to Solder Smoke from Thule, Greenland, from the airbase at Thule, Greenland. He spends several months a year out there working on the base, and he said he got a chuckle from our frequent mention of the problem of letting smoke out of radio components, and he's been in the electronic maintenance business for many years, and he says he too understands the importance of not letting the smoke out. He also mentions that in the area around the base there's a museum with some old Danish radios that they might decide to work on or restore in some form, and he's going to be looking for documentation on them. We got a nice email from Gary, VK2KYP. Always good to get some email from down under. Paolo, a guy that we've been in contact with for a number of years now, his call signs CT1EFL, G0MUW, and Fox5, Victor Mike Juliet. That's his current call. Paolo, I think, has a similar lifestyle to ours, a lot of movement, a lot of call signs. But he's currently in Paris with the F5 call sign, and he's set up a blog, and it's got some real interesting stuff on it. And he had some correspondence from somebody who's working with NASA on the issue of tin whiskers. These are the whiskers that apparently pop up when you use lead-free solder, and the little whiskers apparently grow up and out of the lead-free solder and create, of course, very troublesome and unwanted bridges across the across your circuits that will, of course, if allowed to develop, will indeed let the smoke out. Watch out for those tin whiskers. While I was back in the States, I stopped in a Radio Shack store and picked up a new supply of lead solder. I may be violating some EU Enviro regulations there, but I'm going to risk it, guys. Heck, I've got diplomatic immunity. There they go, the bells again. All right. Anyway, check out Paolo's site. It's www.fox5vmj.com, and you'll see a really interesting page there on the tin whiskers. Got a very nice email from Mike, WA6ARA. It's a call sign well known to the solder smoke community. He says that he was recently camping in the High Sierras, reading Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance while simultaneously listening to Solder Smoke 65 on an MP3 player that was a Creative Zen MP3 player. So Seems like fate. It seems like a good place to be listening to Solder Smoke up there in the High Sierra as well, reading Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Thanks for that note, Mike. Hey, one other thing before we wrap this one up. I took as a good sign, something that is visible, very visible, when I step out of the front door of where I work. The embassy here is located on one of the most well-known, famous streets of Rome. It's the Via Veneto. This is the scene of the famous movie La Dolce Vita. Anyway, it's a really beautiful location. The building itself is a former palace of the Queen Mother of Italy. And I walk out the first day that I'm there. I go inside, get checked in, time to go out for lunch. I step out the front door, and I look off to the right, and there's this big building up there, and it's got written right across the top a word that will be instantly recognized by the fans of Gene Shepherd, K2ORS. We've talked about Gene many times. I know many of you guys are fans. His motto is up there, Excelsior. I don't know why it's there, but one of the big beautiful buildings up there has, I mean, it's the most prominent thing when you walk out of the building where I work. You look off to the right and it just says Excelsior. I took that as a good sign. Rome's going to be a good place for a radio amateur home brewer. Hey guys, thanks very much for all the email you sent in. Thanks for the encouragement though over the summer. I hope you've enjoyed Solder Smoke 66, the Roman edition. One thing I'd like to ask, if anybody has any suggestions on how to improve Solder Smoke for the, I guess, the new season, the new Roman season, let me know. I'm particularly interested in suggestions on how to improve the audio quality. I got some comments over the summer that the audio quality is not really what it should be. I'm using a cheap little computer mic. We've experimented, of course. We tried D104 for a while. It didn't work out. But if anybody has any suggestions about what I should do in terms of a better microphone, let me know. Maybe even need a new sound card. I don't know, but I know some of you guys are quite expert at this kind of thing. So if anybody has anything, any suggestions on what we could do to improve the audio quality of Solder Smoke, please send them my way. Also, of course, any comments or suggestions on the content of the program, those would also be very much appreciated. Maybe next time I'll tell you a little bit more about some of the stuff we did on the road. I'll just mention it. Well, we dug for dinosaurs out there in Grand Junction, Colorado, and we actually found a pretty big dinosaur bone. That was fun. Not really radio-related stuff, but I thought you'd get it. I'll get into that maybe a little bit in the subsequent edition. That's it for now. Don't let me start rambling again. This has been fun. And 7-3's from Rome.